Hosanna to the King of Kings. I will sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Give me joy, oh, give me joy in my heart. Keep me praising. Give me joy in my heart, I pray. Oh, give me joy in my heart. Keep me praising, praising, praising. Give me praise into the break of day. Hosanna, oh, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Spirit, said the Lord. It's not by might, and it's not by power, but by my Spirit, said the Lord. And this mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed by my Spirit, said the Lord. One more time. Well, it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, said the Lord. Let's stand to our feet. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, said the Lord. In your mountain shall be removed. Your mountain shall be removed. Your mountain shall be removed by my Spirit, said the Lord. One more time. In this mountain, in this mountain shall be shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed by my Spirit, said the Lord. Amen. Do you believe that? Give the Lord a clap of praise. Hallelujah. I believe he's moving it now. Whatever it is. I know, Brother Wade, you got some teeth moved. But he did it for you. You hear stories about people not making it in the dentist chair. Yeah, he kept Brother Wade through. Yeah, well, praise the Lord. I've had my share of dentistry the past year and a half, so... Kind of think I'm done now. But let's take up our offering this evening. And Brother Anderson, can you help us take up our offering? Please. Appreciate it.
Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, this Wednesday service, Father, with thanksgiving in our hearts, Father. Because, Lord, we know it's not by power, it's not by might, it's by your Spirit, Father. And with that Spirit, Father, dwelling in each and every one of us, Lord, we come together, Lord, a lick of light here, a lick of light here. And you, Father, promising in your word that you're going to be here with us. We pray, Father, that you be with us, incline our ears so we can hear your word, anoint the minister, Lord. And, Father, we pray that we accept and live the life that will get us out of here, Lord. Bless, Lord, the offerings and the tithes your children will give, Father. Also, bless the lips, Lord, and the hands as we praise you and as we sit down to hear your word, Lord, speak. Speak, Lord, speak. We thank you for all things, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. You may be seated. Let's just sing this
keep on the firing line. I may want to keep on the firing line. I'm going to keep shooting at the devil. Because he's shooting at us. Might as well just fire back. The way you fire back is resist him. That's how you fire back. You don't necessarily need to fire back. Sometimes we feel tempted. The way you sometimes is fire back, and what will demolish him completely is resistance. Amen. Praise God. Let's sing this.
Oh, if you're in the battle for the Lord and right, keep on the firing line. If you win, my brother, surely you must fight. Keep on the firing line. There are many dangers that we all must face. If we die fighting, it is no disgrace. A coward in the service, he will find no place. So keep on the firing line. Oh, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you keep on the firing line. Oh, God will only use the soldier he can trust. Just keep on the firing line. If you wear a crown, then bear the cross you must. Oh, keep on the firing line. Life is but to labor for the master dear. Help to banish evil and to spread good cheer. Great you'll be rewarded for your service here. So keep on the firing line. Well, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never, never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God in the right, just keep on the firing line. Oh, when we get to heaven, brother, we'll be glad. Just keep on the firing line. I will praise the Savior for the call we had. Oh, keep on the firing line. When we see the soul that we have helped to win, leading them to Jesus from the paths of sin, with a shout of welcome we will all march in. So keep on the firing line. Well, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God in the right, just keep on the fight. Amen. Let's sing that again. Let's stand to our feet. You must fight, be brave against all evil. Never, never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God in the right, just keep on the firing. One more time. Oh, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God in the right, just keep on the firing line. Let's give a clap of praise to the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
That you've given us his word. He's given us his word to be able to fight with in this hour. That's all you need. So you ready for more of that word? Amen. So let's, as Brother Aaron gets ready to come out, let's just sing Word of God Ever True.
He comes to impart life. Whatever's in the word that you have need of, he's here to impart that to you. He said that he came to give us life and have it more abundantly. Amen. And so whatever you have need of, he's here to meet your need. Yes. Amen. Thank God for that. Hey. Good to be in the house of the Lord. I'm not going to sing now. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to be with you tonight. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to go right to the book of Matthew. And read from Matthew 16, and then we're going to go to Exodus chapter 3. Y'all just pray for me tonight, and we'll see how the Lord will speak tonight. And God's good to us.
Amen.
Amen. And Y'all have seen our, you've seen our post, you've seen my post, and we have another driver among us, so I'll give everybody fair warning. A driver. God didn't give us a spirit of fear now. Well, that's the reason you got to have faith. You got to have faith. That's the reason I said for everybody to go out in the highways and the hedges and the ditches and everything. Let him know he's coming. He's coming. Y'all be ready. But thank the Lord we got through that. I told him that's the last one. I got both my boys. I got license now. So, whew, praise the Lord. Now all we got to do is afford it. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. We done the driver's training. So he done his classroom work, and then he done his driving, and he got his certificate, and that saved us over $100 a month on his insurance. So praise the Lord. And it only cost us $400-something, so we're saving money. Praise the Lord. And that was time he got to learn from somebody else besides me, so from a professional. So, and Brother Boyd and Brother Isaac, no, Brother Elisha, Brother Boyd said he wanted to put him in a race car, and Brother Elisha said he wanted to have him out there burning rubber. I said, we don't need any of that kind of influence on him. But y'all just pray for him and tell him we're going to get him a prayer cloth, and he wants a prayer cloth for his football helmet. We're gonna put prayer cloth for that. We're gonna put one in his wallet, and there you go. There's a prayer cloth for your wallet for your driving. The angel of the Lord be with you everywhere you go. It's not just what you're doing; it's what everybody else is doing, or what they're not doing. Amen. I believe we trust God everywhere we go, and He's always with us. And I tell you what, He take over. I was thinking about you and Pop driving. Coming back from the fellowship meeting that night, and that car come down between the vans, and I think about that, you know. Hey, you know what? It's not us. Tell you what, the angel of the Lord be in the car. He can control everything. I don't know how people got out of vehicles, go through situations, and not even have a scratch on them. The cars don't hit. It's like there's no way physically. It defies the laws of physics how it happens. But the angel of the Lord knows what he's doing. He's got power over it. Amen. So we've got faith. You see it happen one time, God can do it again. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to read Matthew chapter 16, beginning at verse 13, and then we'll go to Exodus chapter 3. So let's just all bow our heads and speak to the author. I know there's many needs, and I've been thinking about Sister, and you'll have to help me, Sioppa. Brother Paco's Sioppa, which is Brother Paco Calix, his wife, and she's in Spain. They're from Honduras, and she's in Spain, and she's supposed to be having heart surgery. Which they're 6 hours ahead of us, so they'll be this morning. So it'll be sometime this late, early this morning for us, be later. I don't know exactly what time, but just remember her, and they had went over there, I guess, for vacation. And visit family and everything like that. She had a heart attack, and then they're supposed to be doing surgery on her. So y'all just continue to lift her up in prayer. And God, she's doing better from what I understand, but she still have to have surgery. So we just pray that the Lord watch over her, guide the surgeons, everything be supernatural, take care of her, and they can get home. And, you know, it's one thing to be at home and have to go through medical issues and stuff. It's different to be in a different country and have to go through all of that. And, you know, I know they're with some family or whatever, but, you know, there's no place like home. Amen. So let's just lift them up. And I know there's other needs. Amen. God's mindful of all those. Let's all pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night, Lord. We thank you for your blessings on us. And Lord, we just look to you tonight for everything that we have need of, Lord. Lord, you blessed us in so many ways and so many times. And Lord, we just can't thank you enough. And we just pray tonight, Father, that you just come. Speak to us through your word. Just help us get in one mind, one accord. Lord, just help us get out of the way. Lord, just clear everything out from the day or anything that would be a hindrance. And Lord, we just ask you to come speak to us tonight, Lord. And Father, for the ones that have needs, Lord, you know each hand that was raised, each one that was mentioned tonight. Lord, there's many as sick and afflicted. And Lord, our sister Sioppa there in Spain, Lord, she has been on my heart all day and just holding her up, Lord, and her and Brother Paco, and Lord, they're just precious people, just such a servant. Lord, as many miles that Brother Paco's traveled all around and preaching the gospel, Lord, and just, Lord, we just love him and so much, and we just pray that you just be there with them and comfort them, and Lord, just touch her. Lord, just guide the surgeons. Everything goes supernaturally well. And Lord, we just believe you because you are the God of miracles. And we expect that because we can just ask for whatever we ask for in your name. Lord, you said you would do it. So we just believe that tonight. And Lord, there are many others that are sick and afflicted. Lord, many have needs, whatever the needs are. Lord, we just commit them to you. And Lord, we just commit ourselves into your hands tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Matthew 16, verse 13. And it said, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some others Elias, or others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered, said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. And then we're going to go to Exodus 3, begin at verse 1 here. And this is Moses at the burning bush. And it says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert. And came to the mountain of God into Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, I want you to see that. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called out, called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, but take off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by the reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, and unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Amen. God bless you tonight. You can be seated. So tonight, I want to look at, you know, I've been preaching on God's building, and, you know, Brother Bram's talking about, he said, we're building a building, and, you know, he said, now we've come to a place, and we said, we're turning a corner, or he said, we have turned a corner, and so that's what I want to look at tonight, you know, about turning a corner, and, you know, if you look up that phrase, there's several definitions of to turn a corner, and we're going to look at a few of these tonight, but a couple of them says it's something, when you turn a corner, that something is important, is happening in a person's life, and that it's likely to make a difference in their future. And it says to make a life decision that leads down an alternate path, usually a path that is radically different from the current lifestyle. So, you know, here when reading about Moses, and, you know, Moses going, being the deliverer, and we know his life, the story, and, you know, how he was born, and God had protected him and brought him into the house of Pharaoh, and all those things, and how his mom came to be his nurse and raise him up and teach him about who he was and where he came from and all those things, and, you know, began to teach him the word. And what his calling was, what his commission was in life, and, you know, to tell him that he was not the son of Pharaoh's daughter, but God had given him a commission. There was a job that he was called to do, and, you know, he was led to do these things. But, you know, and all of those things, you know, he came to the knowledge of who he was and what he was supposed to do, but he still had to come to the place that he had to come to the time in which God had called him to do that, because without that time, the right time for that to happen, then it didn't do him any good, because he was still a failure, even though God had called him to a job to do. God had called him to deliver the people, but until the time came that he was in the plan of God, he couldn't do it in his own self, because he tried to do it in his own self. And, you know, Brother Brown was talking about, you know, the one thing that we must do is follow God's time and follow God's plan, and God has a divine order on everything that we're supposed to do and how we do it. But the thing is all we've got to do is follow that plan and follow the leading of the Lord. Because, you know, Brother Branham was speaking at one time, and he was talking about ministers, and he was talking about, you know, all these along the roads, he was talking about all the wrecks of all the ministries and everything like that, because there's so many people that had gotten ahead of God and tried to follow the outside of God and trying to follow these different signs and different things, but they had gotten far away from what God had called them to do and was not following the plan of God. People had great ministries down through the time, but the problem was is they got, you know, because they started to seek signs and not seek the God, the one that gives signs. And, you know, they began to, as he said, they began to major on minors instead of all these things, instead of following the plan of God. And, you know, he said, what the main thing to do is just stay humble and just stay simple as you can be and not try to get bigger than God had made you to be. But there's many people, you know, they get wrapped up in themselves, because, you know, as he was talking about, you know, they get messed up in ministries, they get tied up in money and women and popularity. And, you know, those things always catch ministers, because, you know, but he said, whatever you do, just stay humble. Just whatever God called you to do, you know, because you don't have to worry about trying to be bigger than somebody else or better than somebody else. You need to be in the place, because God made you who you are for the position that God called you to be. And all you got to do is be unique in your position and not try to take somebody else's. Because, you know, I would rather be just who I am and just be simple and just and be an original Aaron Roberts than a copy or a reproduction, because you can just be a cheap imitation of somebody else, but you're not who God called you to be. And you can never come to the place that God wants you to be trying to impersonate somebody else, trying to be in somebody else's position. And, you know, people, you know, many times people get jealous of what other people's positions or what other people have and all these things. But you know what? That's not what God calls you to the place God called you. That's not who God called you to be. God wanted you to be in a certain position. Well, I just want to be where God called me to be, because all we got to do is be faithful to the calling that God give us. You know, and many people, you know, they want to be and they want to be after somebody else. But no, it doesn't work that way. And, you know, and so, you know, everybody's like, well, don't you want to be in this position? Don't you want to be in that position? No, I want to be where God called me to be. I just want to be humble. I want to be simple. I just want to be low and let God raise me up to the place where he wants me to be. Because the problem is, you know, like he was talking, Brother Brown was talking about climbing a ladder. Well, you got to start on that bottom rung and go up each rung. And because, you know, you can't just run and jump up, you know, be 5-6 rungs up in the air and think you're going to stay up there. Because most of the time, if you try to do that, I've tried just trying to jump and try to catch 2 or 3 and about broke your leg. And if you hit the right one, it'll bust your shin open. Your foot will slide. You'll hit that rung. And especially one that's mounted to a wall. A steel one that's mounted to the wall, not one of these lean, you know, like an extension ladder or something. You step on the wrong one and you'll know it. And so it's the same way with us. And you have, there's a plan and a purpose that God calls us to, that God wants us to be in that same order that God called us to do what God wants us to do. And that's the way Moses was. You know, he had to come to that place because, you know, he tried to do it because he had always been told. He knew that was the truth. He was the deliverer. He was going to deliver God's people. He was coming out. But you know what? He had to come to the place and realize, you know what? It's not me. It's not in my abilities. It's not my intellect. There's nothing in me that's going to do it. It's going to be God is going to work through me to do this. And when he got on the backside of the desert, then God came to him by the angel coming and giving him that visitation and told him, and he saw that, and he saw what was taking place. And then when he saw that bush on fire, and when the angel, and it caught his attention, and he said, I'm going to turn and go look at this. And he came in to look at this burning, why is this bush on fire? Well, you know, Brother Ram said, you know, he didn't go out there and try to figure it out intellectually why it was on fire. You know, he didn't try to do some scientific experiments or anything like that. But, you know, he began to look to understand what was going on because something caught his attention. And the scripture says when God saw that he had turned to look at this, see, that when it caught his attention, then he realized that he was in the plan of God, then God began to speak to him. At that time, God spoke to him and told him, said, now you're in the position, you've reached the place in your life that God wanted, that I want you to be in to do the work that I called you to do. And now, and then, you know, because we got to that point, he said, oh, Lord, I can't do it. I can't do it. You know, all these years, you know, he was ready to take on the world and do everything. He was the mighty conqueror. He was ready to take over. But you know what? When God called him to that place and told him, now's your time to do this. Now you're equipped to do this. Now you're commissioned. Now you're anointed to do this. And he, oh, I can't do it. I can't speak. I can't do this. I can't do that. No, now's the time. That's what he was telling him. Your time's now. And so many times we wonder why things happen a certain way and things like that. But God's bringing us to the place that God wants us to be so he can use us. As I had the opportunity to speak for Brother Luke Sunday night. And, you know, that's one thing I was talking about. You know, there's a divine order to everything that God does. All you got to do is get in the divine order. All you got to do is find God's divine order. That's all he wants you to do because he gave us the word and he put people in because he gave us a prophet to give us the word. He gave us a fivefold ministry for us to follow. There's a divine order. All you got to do is follow that. And all you got to do is follow it. And if you just follow that, there's headship. All you got to do is to follow the headship of the word. And if you follow that, you go in the right direction. There's no way that you can fail. All you got to do is follow what God said. And it's exactly what God was telling Moses. Here, now's your time. You've been called to this. You've been taught all this all your life. Now's the time. You've been equipped to this. You've been anointed. You've been commissioned to do this. Now go down there because you are the deliverer. He said, I've heard the cry of my people. He said, now I've come down that you're going to go down there and deliver my people. And so it's the same way with you and I. God has called us, and we wonder why we come to a certain time in our lives, the hardships and different things that we go through, because there's a plan and a purpose that God calls us to, that he wants us to get to. And if we just follow that, then we'll get to the place that God wants us to be. You know, I was speaking on Joseph, and you know, when Joseph went through all these things, God told Joseph through his daddy that, you know, he was a different type son. He was the son of promise. He had all these things. He was loved of his father, and you know what? He was different than the rest of them because he was a prophet. He was a seer. He had visions, and God had spoke to him and had a whole plan that had been laid out for him of what Joseph was supposed to do. But you know what? God never told Joseph, listen, you're going to go down into bondage and you're going to have to face all these hardships and all these things. But you know what? When Joseph went down there and his brothers hated him for no cause and they sold him into slavery and they sold him down into Egypt, you know what? He didn't give up when he went into slavery. When his brothers stabbed him in the back and broke his heart, you know what? He didn't stop loving his brothers. He didn't give up. He went down there, and you know what? Because he was still anointed of God. He's still commissioned to go the same way that he was supposed to do. He was supposed to do the exact same thing. Amen. And all he had to do was follow that. When he went into Potiphar's house, why? Because he was blessed. When he went in there, and what did he do? He rose up in the head of Potiphar's house. Why? Because he was blessed. And so when he went down there and when Potiphar's wife came after him and he ended up in prison, well, you know what? I thought things were turning around. I think I'll just give up now. But you know what? God was still working in the prison. He was down there in the prison. Well, next thing you know, it was elevated in the prison. And God began to speak to him about the butler and the baker. So, you know, God began to give him visions of what was going to take place. Well, you know what? He was down there. Well, he didn't give up. Because, you know, the one told him, so, well, you know, I'll remember you one of these days. I'm watching out for you. I got you back. And you know what? He didn't. But you know what? He didn't give up and say, well, you know, I've been waiting all these years. My life's just wasting away. I don't see any anything being productive in my life. I don't see anything taking place. I don't see one thing that I can say there's any good in all of this. But you know what? He didn't give up because you know what? He was still anointed. He was still commissioned. The promise was still unto him. Because he's seen those visions that God had given him, and he hadn't seen the fulfillment of that, but you know, he just began to walk in that vision. The vision didn't change. His circumstances might have changed, but the vision never changed. And he began to walk in that vision. He kept walking. Well, when he went down there, when Pharaoh had those had the dreams and needed somebody to interpret, well, you know what? There was a man that could interpret dreams. And it came to the time that he could interpret the dreams. Well, he went all those years down in a dungeon and all those things that he had to go through, you know, all the problems and felt and everything. But, you know, when he went through all of that, he still was holding on to what God had showed him. He wasn't worried about what was around him, what he saw. He was holding on to a promise. And then when he went down there, he began to talk to Pharaoh and tell him, listen, you've got 7 years of plenty, and you got 7 years of famine. It's time to prepare for this. When they had to go through all of that time of preparing for all of those things, then, you know, God rose him up again, you know, right hand of Pharaoh and all those things that he took in place. But, you know, here he comes right back, and his brethren came right back and just seeing the fulfillment of the scripture. Now, it took all of those years to come to the place. But, you know, exactly the same vision that he had all those years ago, and he had told his mom and dad and his brethren all about what was going to take place. Here it was standing in there and he's seeing the vision take place. But you know that when Joseph came in there and he saw all those things take place, do you know when he began to ask about it, you know, he was kind of sneaky about asking his questions about his brethren and all that. He knew who they were. They didn't know who he was, but he knew. But you know, he began to understand by looking at them and talking to them, get to understand, you know, they had a real change of heart. You know, because all those years, you know, our dad has wept. Our dad has had this broken heart because his son's been gone. And we lied about it. And went through all that. And, you know, he's like, oh, no, our youngest brother, Benjamin, can't come. You know, he almost died when Joseph left. He couldn't bear it to see Benjamin gone. But, you know, he worked all those things. Oh, no. You want food? I need to see Benjamin. We know, went through all of those things. When after he'd seen all that, then he made himself known to his brethren. He stood there and told him, said, listen, I'm Joseph. He said, does my father yet live? And said, they were so afraid of Joseph, the situation that they were in, that they couldn't speak to him. And, you know, he stood there, and, you know, he didn't get mad. And he said, boy, I got you under my thumb now. Y'all going to pay now. And you know what? He stood out there and said, y'all meant this for evil, but God done all this for good. And, you know, he said, listen, and he began to bless his brothers. All the family, and then his father came, and he came down there, and they were in Egypt, and he began to bless each one of them and all of those things. And after 17 years or whatever it was, the time that they were together, when Jacob passes away, then all of a sudden the brothers come to Joseph and say, you know, Dad said that we all should let bygones be bygones. You know, we should hold grudges now. And, you know, even after all that Joseph had been through and all the, he tried to bless his brothers all that time. And then when they got to that place, then they were so worried about that, well, Dad's gone and now he's going to get us. And he said, I've spent 17 years doing the best I can do to show you that I'm not holding a grudge, that I love you and I'm trying to bless you. I'm trying to do the best for you for 17 years, all this time. And he said, now y'all are still worried about what's going to take place. They broke his heart all those years ago, and there he was standing at the right hand of Pharaoh, and he had broken heart again. Because you know what? He had forgiven them, but they had never forgiven themselves. Joseph had gotten past that, but his brothers never did. Because Joseph is trying to show them, listen, God meant this for good, and this is going to preserve life. This is to show you that God was watching out for you all those years ago. Now, we had to go through a lot of hardships and a lot of heartache and a lot of tears, but you know what? God's been in the plan the whole time. God's led us all this way. And see, we miss that sometimes because we see these things that take place and we wonder why things happen the way they do and all these things. And we just worry about it because we see, look around, and because the problem is we're just like those brethren who hadn't got past the things that have happened. If you do something and you put it under the blood, then you know what? We need to get past that. And the problem is if somebody's done something to you, then you've got to forgive, because if you don't forgive, then the Heavenly Father's not going to forgive you, because it's going to hold you back. You're holding somebody else back, but you're holding yourself back, because the problem is we need to get past that. 20 years of hurt, of heartache and bitterness is not going to help you. 30 years of heartache and bitterness is not going to help you. It's not going to help the church. It's not going to, because Brother Branham said, if we keep that root of bitterness in our hearts, said we're going to destroy the church, it'll hurt your pastor. The church can't go any further because we're stuck right there. See, the devil, that's his whole goal, to get in, to mess everything up. But I want you to know that God, from the beginning, He was a God of love, because He's always had that attribute. He's the same God of love today. He's the same God. He's a God of justice, but He's a God of love. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of forgiveness. But you know what? There's a plan. There's a divine order on how to follow all of that, and we get past all of that, because He's a God of healing. Because not only is it physical healing, but He's emotional healing. Whatever you have need of, He's the same, because He will heal you. He will get you past those things, because people are still carrying around the same things, and they don't know how to get past it, and they're still burdened by these things. But you know what? God is here because it's in the Word on how you can overcome those things. Because you know what? There's a God of healing, because you come to these things and realize, hey, listen, we've come through heartaches. We've come through these things. We wonder why we have fallen and all these things. But you know what? God is a God of love to bring you to that, to bring you through the place that you can overcome these things. And you know, we realize that, you know, how God is so gracious to us. And sometimes all you need to realize is sometimes it takes somebody to say that from the pulpit. You know, there's children. And I hate to say this, but there's children, because, you know, they've been abused. And you know what? They carry that all for years and years, and they don't know how to deal with it. There's kids that go through those things, and they don't know how to get past it. And the problem is when somebody else comes along, and all of a sudden they find somebody else that's been the same way. You know what? I was hurt. I was abused. And you know what? This is what God done for me. I had to come to a place and get so low that God came and spoke to me that He healed me. Well, then all of a sudden they hear that. Well, you know what? God healed somebody else of being hurt, of going through all this abuse and different things. And well, you know what? If God got them through that, then God can do the same thing for me. Then, Lord, I want to be healed of that. I want to be healed from those things. Because there's people that have been church hurt. Amen. And they still carry these things around, and they wonder why they can't get past these things. They're still carrying hurt, because they don't. And it's not that they don't want to get rid of it. They don't know how. Amen. And the problem is sometimes the main thing is coming to a place where you can talk about it. Listen, I still hold grudges against people. I still have this problem. I still have that problem. Because the first thing is people... Oh, I ain't going to tell nobody about that. But you know what? That still bothers them down on the inside. They still, because people are ashamed of things that have happened in their life that they didn't have any control over. But you know what? The devil sits on their shoulder. Oh, boy, let me tell you what. People are going to run you out of the church. People going to talk about you. Can you imagine if you got up in front of the church and mentioned anything about that? Can you imagine what would happen? Yeah, you know what we're going to do? You get up here and say, hey, I got this problem, I got that problem. Well, then you know what? There, but for the grace of God, go I. Right, and let me tell you what, if you got any kind of need you got, then we're here to pray for you. And if you got a, and if you got a problem with that, then you know what? You need to be in the altar. Because you know what? We're all scarred. We all have problems. We all got issues that we have to deal with. But the thing is God is here to deliver you from those things. He's God, and he will deliver you from those things where the devil doesn't sit on your shoulder and make you ashamed of the things you've been through. Because you know what? Every person in this building has had things in their lives that we're ashamed of, that we wouldn't want anybody to know about. But you know what? God, because how many times when people come into prayer line and with Brother Branham under discernment, he knew what was taking place. He knew what was their problem. They come to Brother Branham on private interviews or whatever, and he began to deal and figure out exactly what God showed him, exactly what your problem was. They're holding on to something and they don't know how to get past it. Just like that one lady, she came in there and she was had nervous problems or whatever. And, you know, he said, well, you got scared by a dog when you were little. There was some of the trauma that she had had, she had went through in her life. And all of a sudden, it goes all the way back to that point. And he carried it right back to that point and said, listen, but God will heal you from that. God will deliver you from that. And there all of a sudden, oh, wow, I'm free. Because when you come to the place, how many times he talked about, you know, exposing Satan? You begin to talk about, hey, I see these things. I have these things in my life. And you begin to talk about it. Say, listen, I want to be delivered from that. When you come to the place that you realize, I want to be delivered, well, you talk to somebody about it. Because lots of people, you know, they're ashamed to talk about it. But when you begin to share it with somebody else, then you know what? Then all of a sudden, it's just like going to the doctor. You go to the doctor, you can be dying if you don't ever go to the doctor and tell the doctor, listen, I got a problem. Well, you know what? The doctor is not going to divine it. Because, you know, unless they go run some test or something and find out what your problem is, they'll never know. And just like Brother Ram talking about the man laying on the doctor's doorstep dying, and the doctor had medicine. He had the prescription, had everything the man needed, but you know what? He wouldn't go in and see the doctor. He ended up there dying. Why? Because he wouldn't go in, but everything was there. And it's the same way in the house of God. You come in. That's the reason you have a pastor. You have brethren here. That, you know, if you have a problem, listen, we're here to back you up. We're here for everybody to move on with God, to be delivered and grow in the grace and mercy of God. See, but you got to get to the place where you want to go and make a turn. You got to get to the place where you realize God is calling you, and you got to make that turn. There's a time you got to come to that place, and if you come to that place and realize you got to make that turn where you can go on with God. See, just like here in the scripture, we're going to cover a few different people, but I'm not going to keep you long tonight. But you know when you look there at Ahab and Elijah, you know when Elijah comes, and you see there in the scripture that when Ahab came to Elijah because of the sin and the wickedness that was in Israel. And here's Ahab comes and he tells Elijah, he said, are you the one that troubles Israel? What was the problem that they had in Israel? It wasn't Elijah that was troubling Israel. It was the sin and all the wickedness that had come into Israel and all of the problems they had. But somebody came and began to point the problems out to the people that was in Israel, because you know what? They all stood there. And they were all, you know, because some people, hey, they were having a great time. It didn't matter to them that they were in idolatry. It didn't matter to them that they'd broken all the laws of their fathers, of everything that God had showed them before. They didn't care about any of that. But when they began to see that somebody began to point them back, listen, this is what God gave us. This is the word that God gave us. And this is where we're supposed to be at. We're not supposed to have any of that idolatry. We're supposed to have all of that run out of the land. God didn't call us to that. And when Elijah began to go out there and tell them, listen, this is what God called you to. This is your inheritance. This is your place. When he come to that place, then, Ahab, he was all indignant up there. But you know what? When he began to speak to him, and Ahab was telling Elijah about them and the condition, you know, he was just telling the prophet off. Well, then Elijah come out there and told him, listen, we're going to have a Mount Carmel showdown. If you think your gods are the ones in charge, then guess what? We'll go up on the mountain, we'll make the altars, and we'll see who answers by fire. He called them out and gave them the challenge. And you know, when they went out there, and he began to preach to them about what God was going to do, because God was the God, true God. And he said, God of Baal would never answer to them, but you can serve him if you want to. But let me tell you, he's fake and he's false and he's not going to answer. You can do anything. And he stood out there, and when he began to tell them, and the scripture says, and Elijah came unto the people and said, how long shall you be between two opinions? He said, if the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. So here's Ahab being all boisterous about, you know, his way of things. And Elijah coming out there telling him, listen, y'all know what the truth is because you've heard it, you've seen it, you've lived here, and you know what the truth is. But you know what? They would not stand up and acknowledge the truth because, you know what? They didn't want to have to, number one, they didn't want to give up their position where they were at. Because you know what? Their easy living was okay with them. And you know what, if they stood up, because you know what, they did not want to admit that they were in the wrong. That they didn't, because they, listen, I'm living in sin. I've gotten away from the Lord. I'm not where God called me. I didn't realize that Elijah's right. But they weren't going to say that. And the other ones, it's like, I'm right there. I'm in Club Ahab. Whatever the king says, I'm right there in his camp. Whatever he says, yes, sir, king, you're right on, just right behind him everywhere he went. We're not following some idiot that come out of the woods. Well, nobody's got no idea on that man. You know, here's the king. He's got all the wealth. He's got all the beauty. He's got everything. Everything's good. Why are we messing this up? Everything's going good. Everything's perfect. Now, why are we going to mess this up? When they didn't realize the party was about to be over with. Why? Because God was coming back. Because of the word coming back into the camp to correct the error. Amen. And they came back in there and said, when you see that, see, it came to that place that we see the showdown. Brother Bram said, he said, when Elijah then called a showdown, he said, if God be God, serve him. He said, if Baal be God, serve him. He said, couldn't that be a wonderful day for Elijah today? He began to talk about politics. You know, we see all the things that are going on. He said, but it's nothing but a bunch of corruption. The whole world is in a condition of corruption. Everything's corrupted. The churches are corrupted. Everything's in just a mess today. But the problem is, there's only one way out. There's only one way of deliverance. And everybody's, it's okay. Because, you know, as long as I got some money in the bank and everything's going okay and this is okay and that's okay. But nobody wants to, just like the children of the Israel, they don't want to realize, hey, this is the truth. This is what God's called us. This is where the truth is. And it's about to be over with. And here they are, just like they're on the Titanic. It's still going down. There's no way out, but God has one way, and he's trying to tell you, listen, it's almost over with. Amen. And if you don't get in the lifeboat, if you don't get in the way and plan of God, if you don't go His way, then you're not going to make it. There's no other way. And Brother Brown was talking about, he said, you see these nations. He said we've got nothing. He said, we've lost everything. He said, nearly every friend we got through the nations here last week, losing two or three more nations to communism. He said, we're taxing the people and getting their money and send it over there to feed those people and turn to communism as soon as they get built up. He said, it's a hypocrisy. Because you see the condition that the world is in today. We want this. Because, you know, everybody's got it all the same. Everything's equal. And, you know, everything's so good. And, you know, we don't have all of, you know. It's like, we want gun control and all these different things that people are all about. And somebody said, you know how everybody wants to have everything equal and they want to be fed and they want everything taken, you know, they want to be taken care of and they don't want any guns and all these type things. Said, you know where you can find all of that? In prison. And the problem is the same way spiritually, because everybody wants everything done a certain way. They want to follow this thing. It's so an easy path. Well, the problem is they don't realize it's a prison, because you're going to end up being bound by something that you can't get away from. But see, there's a way that you have to follow to get away from all of this, to get out from underneath all these things. And God has a divine order for us to follow these things. And Brother Bram said, you know, he said, there's many good-hearted people, you know, that they'll follow religion. They're very religious. He said, but the problem is they don't have anything to do with salvation. They don't know anything about salvation. He said, you know, he said, religion, he said, is to feed the widows and the poor and all that. He said, but salvation is the new birth, being born again. So see, there's a change. A lot of people, they just want to be religious. Well, that's fine, but the problem is that's not going to get you anywhere. Because you've got to be born again of the Spirit of God, and that's what's going to get you delivered out of here. Because that's going to bring you the way to show you how to get out of here. And that's the one thing that people have neglected, because if you don't follow that, then you're not going to get anywhere. Because God has laid it out there, but you've got to make that decision whether you're going to follow that or not. Because Brother Ram said, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? He said, if you neglect to eat, you'll die. He said, you neglect to turn a corner, you'll wreck. He said, you neglect to milk the cow, she'll go dry. You neglect your teeth, you'll have to have them all pulled out. Certainly, you pay for your neglect. And brother, I put that in there, and I didn't think about Brother Wade, but I just put that in there because that's what Brother Bram said. I'm just preaching, but, you know, that's what happens. He said, but you neglect to testify of the glory of God. You neglect to give God the praise and glory. You'll find yourself cold, formal, and backslidden one of these days. He said, you give God praise. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? So if we understand that there's a time, when God gives it to you and lays it out before you, then you've got to go after it. Because if you don't, then you're going to neglect it. Then you're going to end up in the place where you don't want to be. Because you can't neglect these things, because it's laid out before you. You have to decide if you're going to go on in the plan that God has given you. God has called us to this way, and if we follow that, then God will lead us to where we need to be. He said, see, it's us. It's as we think of Him, Brother Bram says. He said that when he draws close to us, he said, draw nigh unto me, and I'll draw nigh unto you, saith the Lord. He said, if we could keep our mind off the things of the world and so much foolishness that we have no business thinking of, he said, let the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto thee, O Lord. So don't worry about all the things that are in the world, because people think about all these different things and they have their own ideas about different things. But the thing is, you got to have your mind on God. If you draw nigh to Him, then He'll draw nigh to you. Because that's the way you got to go. We can't neglect these things and expect these things to take care of themselves. You've got to be proactive on these things. Because if you're not, then you'll always. Because if you're standing still, then you're backsliding. You're either getting better or you're getting worse. You got to keep moving forward. And so there's a plan and a purpose that God has, and you just got to keep going on that way. See, you got to keep following that plan that God has for you. Keep following that. Yes. Meditate on the Word of God. You know, Brother Branham's talking about Mary as she was going along one day, and she began to think about the scripture that the virgin shall conceive, and realizing this is in the time that it should be fulfilled, that God's word is still in effect, and began to think about those, ponder those things. Listen, what Isaiah said all those many years ago, and what the scriptures have said about the Messiah coming. And you know, we keep looking for the Messiah, and one of these days he's going to be here. We're looking for the fulfillment of God's word, and began to meditate on that. And her and Joseph began to talk about those things. And you know, she began to walk down the street, and Brother Ram said she was meditating on that. And all of a sudden she turned a corner. And when she turned the corner, she seen this flash of light, and she was standing there and she was trying to figure out what was going on. But after she had made that turn and began to walk a different path, then all of a sudden the angel Gabriel was standing in front of her and began to express to her exactly what the word said. And it was her word for her to realize that, listen, you're going to bring forth the Messiah. The scripture that you've been meditating on, and you've been thinking God's going to fulfill this one day. Well, you know what? It's for you to fulfill this word. It's your word. It's your commission. It's not somebody else's. Well, you know, Mary didn't get out there. Well, I don't know about this. No, she'd been meditating on that word. And you know what? If it's going to be anybody else in the world, you know what? I'm going to take what the prophet said, what the angel of the Lord said to me, because this is what was said, that somebody's, that a virgin shall conceive and bring forth the son. Well, you know what? Might as well be me. Be it unto me according to thy word. She didn't think, well, you know, my family's poor, and we got this, and you know, all these type things, and you know, I'm not as good looking as all the other girls or anything else. She had an angel visitation, you know what? And because that angel began to speak, Gabriel spoke to her. You're blessed and highly favored. Well, then you know what? I'm taking that. It didn't make her anything, but you know what? She accepted the word that was given to her. She accepted the word that was given to her, and that's me. And she held on to that and began to walk in that. And you know, as Gabriel began to speak to her about Elizabeth and bringing forth John and all those type things, and listen, you're going to see this thing take place. Well, you know what? There was nobody else that was going to believe that. Even Joseph had a hard time believing it. But you know what? She believed it. When it looked impossible, somebody had to believe, somebody had to, was going to fulfill that word. And we look at our lives and, well, I don't know how it's going to take place, or these different things, or, you know, I'm not the smartest. I'm, you know, all these different things. I'm not. Let me tell you, you are. God called you out of the miry pits of clay. He called you out of the world one day, wherever you were at. Oh, well, you know, we cut our teeth on a message. Ever since we've had a conscious thought, we knew Brother Branham was a prophet. But you know what? That didn't do us any good. That don't bring you to know anything but a bunch of head knowledge. And it'll bring you a twofold more child of hell than to anybody else. Oh, you can quote Brother Branham, and you know what Brother Branham said and all these type things, and you've got all the pictures and all those things. But you know what? That don't do you a bit of good, because that don't bring you eternal life at all. Right. But you know, one day when he begins to speak to you and begins to quicken that word to you, and you realize that you need a Savior, I need that word that was he spoke in the beginning, that same word that was spoke all the way down through time, all through the prophets, so what, the word that lays right here in this Bible, all of that, I need that word birthed into me. I need a new birth of the word inside of me. I need the same one that spoke everything into existence when there was nothing. He was there by himself with his thoughts, his attributes, that I'm an attribute of God, and it's time for me to come into existence, that he come to take up residence in me, to live in me, to manifest the word. Then he wants us to do that. Then that's what God has called us to. You know, I'm gonna finish with this. I told you I'm going to try not to be too long. But, you know, there was a story Brother Brown talks about a little man by the name of Zacchaeus. You know, here's this little man named Zacchaeus. Got a wife named Rebecca. And, you know, he gets tired of listening to his wife talk about this Messiah, about this prophet. And, you know, he don't like any of this thing. And, you know, he don't believe nothing that she has to say. But, you know, she just keeps hearing about all this. And, you know, he goes down the road. And, you know, Jesus is coming to town. And, you know, all he heard about Jesus, 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 and all the miracles and this and that. But, you know, it's like, well, you know what? The rabbis and they all told us, listen, you can't listen to none of that stuff. That's all a bunch of fanaticism. You stay away from all that. Good, decent folks don't have anything to do with that. But you know what? There was something that was stirring inside of him because it was her prayers. She began to pray for her husband. And, you know, he went through all that. And, you know, he was not going to have anything to do with that. But, you know, he got to pondering on those things. And there was something that was stirring inside of him. And he was like, well, I got to go down there and just look. I got to go down there and see what all this is about. Well, you know, there was something that stirred inside of him. And Brother Bram says, you know, he goes down the street and he sees the crowd coming. And he's like, well, you know what? I can't see him on the ground because I'm so short. So he's like, I got to find a place to get to. Amen. Well, you know, he goes along and, you know, he goes down through there and he says, well, Brother Ram says, you know, he goes down the street and realizes, well, he's going to make this turn. He's going to go down this street here. So, you know, Zacchaeus goes ahead and makes that turn, goes down the street, and he gets a looking. He's like, well, where can I get? Well, he realizes, hey, I can get in the tree. Well, he goes up there, you know, and he gets up there. You know how he gets his coat dirty and everything. He gets up in the tree, but he thinks, I'm hidden. Nobody's going to know that I'm here. I'm hidden up in this tree, and I'm sitting up here, and I'm just going to wait on Jesus to pass by, and I'm going to keep my eyes open. And I'm hid up here, and nobody's going to know, because nobody's going to look up in this tree, and I'm so short, I'm hid, everything's good. So he goes along, and Brother Bram says, see, that's the way it is. You get up, he was up in that sycamore tree, and he said, that's a good place to be when you get where two ways meet. He said, that's your ideas and God's word. So when he got down there, he got right there at the corner, he made that turn, and here comes Jesus down there to make that turn. He said, where your ideas and his meets, that's a good place to rest just for a few minutes. He said, decide on which way you're going to go from there. And see, here's Zacchaeus getting up in that tree and waiting. He knew that Jesus was coming that way. And he thought, well, nobody knows I'm here. But, you know, he had his eyes out there and he was watching Jesus. He's watching that crowd. Everything's going down through there, watching. The whole time he was watching that crowd, Brother Bram said he was out there thinking, you know what? Maybe everything Rebecca says is right. He began to ponder all those things that he questioned and all the things he had said about Jesus and all them fanatics. And he began to ponder all that. Sat right there thinking, maybe God will deliver me. Maybe God will heal me. Maybe these scars I've carried all these years, he'll free from me from all that. He thinks he's hidden. He's watching all that. Maybe all the things he's going through, all the mental battles, all the things that's holding him back, all the guilt and shame he carries. And Zacchaeus is sitting in that tree watching Jesus come by. He thinks he's hidden, but he's beginning to think about all those things. But the one thing he don't think about, there's God coming down there in skin, in flesh. The Word made flesh coming his way. And all the crowd noise and all the things going on everything taking place, and he don't realize. Jesus knows where he's at. Now, he don't think he knows that, but Jesus knows where he's at. And Jesus is going along, and, you know, he's healing the people, and he's shaking hands, and he's doing all those things, and, you know, he's getting patted on the back, and everybody's just loving on him and everything, like praising him and everything, that he's just going down through there. And, you know, he's just doing all the other things that he's doing with all the with the crowd, and everybody's enjoying, having a good time. But you know what? As he goes walking down through there, he passes by, and he realized the whole time he was going down through there, he knew where he was going. He come right to where Zacchaeus was, and he looked up there. Zacchaeus, make haste. I'm going to your house today. When he thought he was hidden, thought nobody would know, when he pondered these things and he wondered what was going to take place, he had questions, he was confused, all those different things. And you know what? Jesus came by his way. The word came right to him and spoke to him in his condition. He's like, oh, I've got all this hidden. Nobody knows it. But God knows. And when you think God doesn't know, he'll pass by your way and he'll speak to you. Do you want to be free today? Amen. Do you want to unload yourself from these things? Do you think that nobody else knows the condition you're in? You don't think anybody else knows the battles you're facing? He does. And he's got a heart of love. And he's reaching out to you. And the question is, are you going to turn that corner? Because he wants to build you into the stature of Jesus Christ, to be a son and daughter of God, to the place that God has called you to. And all you got to do is say, Lord, I want to turn that corner. This corner right here, I want to be built up in the stature. I'll be a full tabernacle of the living God. And you know what? Now's my time to turn the corner. This is my corner, and I'm going to turn it. Lord, I'm following you. If nobody else turns that corner, that's okay. But I know this is where the roads meet, and I'm following you. And tonight, he's here to speak to each one of us, and all you got to do is answer the call. How many believe that tonight? Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. We'll have the musicians come. God bless you tonight. Let's sing that song. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'm not key. What key is that? Let's just try that. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, all the way. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him all the way. Amen. He will lead me through. What's the next verse, brothers? I can hear your calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I'll go with and follow me. I can hear My Savior calling, I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow me. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Lord, we want to follow you wherever you lead us tonight. Lord, we see that the time that we live in, Lord Jesus. Lord, such a late hour. Lord, we don't have time to play church or, Lord, to be lackadaisical. Lord Jesus. Lord, help us tonight, Lord Jesus. Lord, let us have that zeal, Lord, to follow you. Lord, I know there's many that have needs, Lord. There's many hearts you've stirred tonight. Lord, you've stirred mine. Yes. Lord, I want to be just like Zacchaeus, Lord. I want to get close to you. Lord, I want you to come my way and speak to me, Lord. Remove all the doubts and the fears, Lord. Lord, come and answer my questions. Lord, I know that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, we've seen the word open in our day. Lord, we've seen the truth. But Lord, we want to have that burning bush experience, just like Moses down there on the backside of the desert, where it's just you and us. Lord, it's just an individual affair that you come and you speak to us. Lord, we've had many experiences with you. Lord, we can say that we know what it's like to have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Lord, but we want a greater feeling. We want to be touched from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet. Lord, we want nothing of the world. We want to be so delivered of Laodicea, Lord. Lord, of all the things that hinder us, Lord, that hinder you from working in us to bring us to the place where we ought to be. Lord, I want to say I'm sorry, Lord, that I've not done a better job. Lord, there's many things in my life that's not right. But Lord, I lay myself on the altar tonight, Lord Jesus. I want you to come and cleanse me, Lord. As David said, create a clean heart in me, Lord. Remove anything that's not like you, Lord Jesus. Lord, put the right spirit in us, Lord. Bring us to the place where we ought to be, Lord. Lord, we realize that if we want this church to grow, Lord, I realize that if we want this church to grow, if we want this church to be where it needs to be, Lord, then it starts with me. It doesn't start with my brothers or my sisters, Lord. It doesn't start with the pastor. It starts with me. Lord, I realize that I can advance this church or I can be a hindrance. I don't preach to anybody else, Lord. I take this word and I apply it to myself, Lord. Lord, we stand at the crossroads tonight. And we want to take the right road. Lord, as Brother Brandon was standing there talking to Billy Paul, he had his arms standing out and he told him, he said, son, you can go one way or the other. So we're there standing there. We can put all the former things behind us and press on toward the mark of the high calling. And Lord, that's where I want to be.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Help us tonight, Lord Jesus. Lord, I don't want any services that we come to, Lord, just to be another service. Lord, that where it's just we just come and we just go through the emotions. Lord, we just go through the same rituals. Father, if we don't hear from you, Lord, if we don't see you moving in our midst, Lord, then we need to be in the altar and say, Lord, why are we, where are we stopping this thing? Lord, is it in me? Am I hindering somebody? Am I hindering my family? I don't want to be a hindrance to anybody. So I just lay myself on the altar tonight, Lord Jesus. Lord, each one that's here tonight, Lord, Father, Lord, the needs, Lord, what the desires are, Lord Jesus, I pray that you just come and minister to each one. Lord, I don't know what their needs are. I don't know what their desires are, but you do. Lord, we're just willing vessels. Lord, we just yield ourselves to the Spirit to speak. Father, I feel so unworthy sometimes. But Lord, I just plead your blood. I just claim your mercy and grace. Lord, you started us on this journey. We know that you'll carry us all the way. So tonight, Lord Jesus, we just commit ourselves into your hands. Lord, bless each one that's here. Lord, the ones that are listening in. Lord, the ones that'll be listening in later. Wherever they are, Lord Jesus, I pray that you touch them. Meet their needs. Comfort their hearts, Lord Jesus. Whatever the need is, you are the answer to it. So we commit it to you in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you tonight. If you have a need tonight, as they're playing the music, anybody, if you have a need of anything tonight, I don't want you to leave this building without getting what you have need of. Amen. I'm going to get these for Adam. We're going to pray over these. So let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I lay hands on these prayer cloths, Lord Jesus. Lord, for Adam, we just pray that you just watch over him in everything that he does, Lord. Lord, may the angel of God be with him. Lead him, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray that you stir his heart. Draw him closer to you, Lord. Yes. Lord, it's not the things that we can do in this world, Lord, but it's the things that we can do for the kingdom of God. Lord, we have faults and failures, Lord Jesus. We just pick up the pieces. We put it under the blood and we just move forward. Lord, I pray that I'd be the right kind of father. Lord, that my sons can see Jesus Christ. Lord, that they can come to know you and the power of your resurrection. Not to have dad's experience or anybody else's experience, but Lord, let them have their own real true fire burn again experience. Lord, that'll carry them through all the fiery darts of the enemy. Carry them through every flood, every storm of the enemy. Lord, that they'll have an anchor that holds. And Lord, I say the same thing over all of our young people tonight, Lord Jesus. Lord, those that are wayward tonight, Lord Jesus, they're still our children. And Lord, we believe in the name of Jesus Christ that we call for their lives. And Lord, that we're going to see them overcome the things of the enemy, Lord, that he's not going to have his hold on them, that they're going to be delivered of these things. Because you give us right to speak these things. You give us the authority to speak your word. And we believe it tonight. because you are the God of the impossible. The devil wants to want us to see how impossible it is. But Father, we realize when it becomes impossible, when it looks so impossible, you're going to come on the scene and work a miracle. So we commit it to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Slave to fear.
sea.
Slave to fear. Amen. God called us to a place of faith, to walk in that realm of the sixth sense. God's delivered us. Amen. How many blessed tonight? I tell you, I come got my portion tonight. I don't know about the rest of you, but I'd like to stay like this all the time.
Yes. Praise.
Praise God. One of these days we're going to get on the other side. It ain't going to change.
Lord.
We're going to live in this realm.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Thank God we realize that one of these days all this is going to be a past us. Amen. But God bless you tonight. Brother Wade, do you have anything? All right. Well, God bless you tonight. We're going to be dismissed in a word of prayer. And I hope y'all have a wonderful week. Looking forward to Sunday. I got two services Sunday. Amen. And we got We got choir practice, I think. Sunday. Oh, yeah, tambourine and everything. Amen. We're going to have a good time Sunday. We got two services, and we got worship in between. So just pray for one another and just expect whatever's on your heart, whatever you want from God, you expect it to come pass and see it.
Yes, yes.
God be right on the scene. He'll answer all your needs, supply everything. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's just all bow our heads. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, Lord, we can say it was wonderful to be in your house tonight, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Lord, I thank you that you come by our way and spoke to us, Lord. Lord, as we go our separate ways tonight, Lord Jesus, as we travel on the roads, Lord, I pray that you just watch over and keep us.
Thank you.
Lord, I pray that everyone has a great week, Lord Jesus. Lord, the ones that have issues and problems, Lord, the children taking tests, Lord, I know there's many that'll be taking tests and different things, Lord. I just pray that you'll be with them, and Lord, you just bless everything that they put their hands to, Lord. And Lord, those that are sick, Lord, I know that we're going to see healings take place, Lord. People that are going to be touched, Lord, they're going to see God do things in their lives, Lord. We're just looking for miracles, Lord, because you said whatever we believe and we ask for it, that you would do it. Because I thank God for all that you've done for us, Lord.
Yes.
And Lord, we just pray that you be with each one, Lord. Bless the service this Sunday, Lord. We know we're coming. Lord, we're going to come with our cups empty, Lord. We come to get our cups filled and overflowing. Father, I pray that you bless Brother Wade as he's studying, Lord, to minister. Lord, I just pray that you touch him, Lord, and touch his mouth, Lord, where he's had this work done. Lord, the doctors and the dentists can do so much, Lord, but we know that you're the healer.
Amen.
Lord, you're the restorer.
Yes. Yes.
And Lord, we just commit it to you and know that you'll take care of all of it. And Lord, we just commit our goings and our comings into your hands, Lord. Lord, bless each one. Lord, as we leave tonight, Lord, we just thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. And Lord, let us be a light to the world, Lord. There's many that are seeking things. They're seeking answers. Lord, let us be that light to those that are in darkness.
Yes.
Lord, that are in confusion, that we can show them the way. As the prophet said, nothing but lost souls. The greatest thing that we can do is seek lost souls. Lead those to Calvary. And so, Lord, that's what we want to do. That the world can see Jesus Christ in us.
Yes.
Father, we just commit it all to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Dismissed.